Today's reading is from Acts chapter 14, verses 21 through 28. After they had proclaimed the good news to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, then on to Iconium and Antioch. There they strengthened the souls of the disciples and encouraged them in the faith, saying, "It is through many persecutions that we must enter the kingdom of God." And after they had appointed elders for them in each church, with prayer and fasting, they entrusted them to the Lord in whom they had come to believe. Then they passed through Pisidia and came to Pamphylia. When they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. There they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work they had completed. When they arrived, they called the church together and related all that God had done with them and how he had appeared or opened a door of faith for the Gentiles. And they stayed there with the disciples for some time. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Won't you pray with me? Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on your people. For Lord, I am not worthy to stand behind your sacred desk. But if you would send your spirit to this place, then we will stand on the promise that when your word goes out, it shall never return void. So Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, over the last few weeks, we have been on a road trip. It started with just getting in the car. And the great difficulty there is in just beginning the journey of faith with one small step. It continued with sharing the road and the great joys and the great challenges of making room for all of God's other people on the journey. And then last week, it detoured to the unexpected places of life, reminding us that sudden changes are delays and not God's denials. But this week, we embark on some uncharted territory. You see, every message we've delivered has been about going, moving, shifting, driving, but today's message brings everything to a halt. Why? Because long before we get in the car or share the road or navigate through the detours of life, we all begin the journey the exact same way, by stopping to fill up the tank, by pausing to make sure that we have the fuel that we need to go the distance of our destination. But then something happens as we go along the road, doesn't it? The further we get on the journey, the less willing we are to stop and to refuel. You see, we get a little bit of distance behind us. We get a little bit comfortable in our seat. We hear our favorite songs blaring through the speakers, and we say to ourselves, "Why stop now?" So we keep driving, we keep moving, we keep pushing, though the gas tank begins to move towards half full, and we say to ourselves, "Why stop now?" We keep driving, and though our backs begin to stiffen, our eyelids begin to droop, and our heads begin to bob, we look at the distance behind us, and we say to ourselves, Why stop now? So we keep driving, and though we're now yawning along to our favorite songs and rolling down the window to blast cold air in our faces to keep us awake, we still say to ourselves, why stop now? So we keep driving, and though the gas tank is now this close away from empty, and we're forced to sit in just the right position so that our bladders do not explode, we still say to ourselves, why stop now? It sounds crazy, because it is crazy. But it's also the question so many of us ask ourselves as we move through life. And I can imagine that it's the same question that Paul was asking himself as we meet him on the road in the book of Acts. You see, in just 7 verses of scripture, we learn that Paul and his co-passengers have been to 7 different cities. Antioch, Lystra, Iconium, Pisidia, Pamphylia, Perga, Attalia, and then all the way back to Antioch. They've preached, they've baptized, they've healed the sick, they've assigned elders to the church, they've resolved disputes, they've encouraged new believers, they've corrected doctrine, and they've covered over 600 miles on the journey. And with new people joining the faith, new churches springing up, and lives being transformed all over the place, I have no doubt that Paul asked himself, why stop now? But here it is, right in the midst of all of this momentum, right in the middle of all of this movement, Paul does something radical. And it's not what you think. He didn't raise anybody from the dead. He didn't heal a paralytic man or even start another church. Paul does something far more revolutionary than all of that. He stops. In verse 28, we learn that when he reached Antioch, he and his co-laborers in Christ stop. And they stay in that city for what the writer of Acts describes as a long time. And I'd submit to you this morning, church, that this ceasing of activity is one of the most important things that Paul does in all of his missionary journey. And it is one of the things that God is calling us to do on our journey of faith, to stop. Now, I know what you're thinking, that makes absolutely no sense. The title of the series is Road Trip, Pastor Nicole, not Staycation. And God has a destination, a journey that each of us are called to get up and go to. Stopping, staying, not moving doesn't sound like part of the plan. And yet Paul, the most well-traveled, weather-beaten worker for Christ that ever lived, stopped. Why? Because Paul is trying to teach us what God is trying to teach us today, that we can't go the distance of our destination unless we stop. You see, each of our cars has a gas tank, right? A container of fuel that enables us to move a certain number of miles on the road. But after a few days of driving to work, to meetings, to play dates, to projects, to church, and everywhere else in between, our gas tanks eventually become empty because they were not designed to go more than a certain number of miles without needing to stop and refuel. And my brothers and my sisters, either were we. Just like our cars, our souls are designed to go for only so many miles before we too must stop and refuel. Stop and restore, stop and rest on the way to our destination. And that sounds really good. but it's so much harder for us to do, isn't it? Especially in a world that prides itself on busyness, on productivity, on calendars bursting at their seams with appointments and long to-do lists. And so with tanks running on empty, we feel the pressure to send just one more email, schedule just one more meeting, take on just one more project, close just one more deal, and never ever stop to take a breath in between. And yet, if you hear nothing else today, hear me now. You were designed to stop. You were made with a spiritual gas tank that will power you to your destination, but every once in a while, it needs to be refueled. And you and me and all of us need to step away from the daily grind of life and rest our souls. And I know that you have important work to do. You have people depending on you, and Paul did too. He had souls to save. He had churches to start and bodies to heal and preachers to ordain and lives to transform, but he also had something else important to do. He had to stop. If you're having trouble receiving this message this morning, if you can feel your phone vibrating with another calendar notification right now, let me offer you three reasons why you can silence the notifications, why you can stop, pull over, and rest. The first reason is this. We can stop today because our value is not in what we can create, but in who created us. We can stop today because our value is not in what we can create, but in who created us. You see, we work for many reasons. We work because we are paid for our work, and this allows us to support ourselves and our families. But that's not the only reason why we work. We work because of the way that it makes us feel about ourselves. When we are the doctor who saved a life, when we are the teacher who taught a child to read, the dancer who dazzled an audience, or a preacher who preached a word from on high, we feel important. We feel needed. We feel valued. And so we don't stop working, because if we were to stop, then we would stop being valuable. We would stop being important. We would stop feeling as if we had any worth at all. And while that may be what the world teaches us, that's not what God teaches us about ourselves. God wants us to see today that our value is not in the work of our hands, but our value is in being God's handiwork. You see, long before the foundations of the world were laid, long before you turned in the application, were given a work email address, or promoted to lead the team, you were created in the image and the likeness of God. You were endowed with the signature and the substance of the creator of the universe, and you are already valuable. You are already enough. And it doesn't matter how many hours of overtime that you put in. It doesn't matter how many miles you drive after the gas light has turned on. You can't earn your value. God made you that way. And so we can stop. We can break. We can rest today because our divine value does not diminish. It's who we are. The second reason that we can pull off the road and into the rest stop is because of who the work really belongs to. Hearken back with me to our morning scripture reading, where we are reminded that Paul has been to 7 cities and counting. And in each city, he's been busy doing the work of God and the work of the church. And as we read about his travels both here and throughout scripture, it would not be unwarranted to say that Paul is incredibly effective at going and doing what God has called him to do. After all, this man wrote most of the New Testament, and he is responsible for the spread of the gospel in most of Asia Minor. We might even say that no one else could do what Paul has done. No one else could start so many churches, heal so many people, raise up so many new leaders. And it would seem that without Paul, so much work would be left undone or perhaps never accomplished at all. And you know, that's the same thought pattern that often creeps into our minds as we journey in life. We don't stop to rest because we're afraid that if we stop, then so will everything else. We're afraid that the work, the journey that God has called us to depends on us and us alone. And I know this feeling personally, as I experienced it just this week. Tuesday morning was like any other. I woke up feeling great, excited to get to work on my sermon for this Sunday. But unfortunately, by Tuesday afternoon, I was sneezing every couple of minutes. My eyes began to water uncontrollably, and the pressure was building behind them. Convinced that it was only allergies, I took one of my prescription pills and I waited for the symptoms to subside. But they didn't. The sneezing only got worse. The pressure only increased. And soon, my sneezing was accompanied by a raw throat and a bleeding nose. And then as the hours began to tick by, and the meetings had to be led, and the sermon was left unwritten, I began to do what any faith-filled woman of God would do. I began to panic. So much so that I launched into a full-blown monologue of worry, picking up my daughter Olivia from camp. To be honest, I was so busy worrying about what would happen if I didn't get better. I was so busy stressing that I didn't have a moment to rest that, to be honest, I may not have even remembered that she was there until she interrupted my one-woman pity party with a question. Mommy, are you the only preacher at St. Luke's? And you know, Pastor Mindy, miraculously, my sore throat was momentarily healed as I managed to say, "You can be quiet," at full lung capacity. For I realized that I was being spiritually scolded by a six-year-old who isn't even reading chapter books, but could read between the lines of my thinking and ask the question, does all the work depend on you? So then why aren't you resting? Why are you acting as if the work of God is dependent upon you and not dependent upon God? Don't you just love when children who are still too small to ride in the car without a booster seat make you feel so small? You see, I imagine that that's how the Christians at Corinth felt when they wrote to Paul. They wanted Paul to return to them, to lead them, because they too thought that only he could do the work of God among them. Yet he reminds them, yes, I planted the seed of faith in your hearts, but it was Apollos, a completely different disciple who watered it, and it was only God who made it grow. You see, Paul had a role to play in the work of God, and so do each of us. But we can rest because God always has an Apollos. God always waters our seeds, and the work of God continues because it's God's work, and it's not our work alone. The third and final reason that we can rest today is because there are certain things that God can only do with us and for us when we are at rest. Now, I know this sounds peculiar because rest often implies a complete lack of activity or movement, but that's not how God created us. I shared with you in my sermon a few weeks back that once I was in a terrible car accident. I hit this patch of black ice, my car flipped over multiple times, I ended up with this fractured nose and shards of glass in my face, in my arm, and in my hands. And as I was preparing to be discharged from the hospital that day, I frantically waved down the attending physician, and I told him how worried I was about my left hand. You see, a piece of glass had sliced the tendon between my ring finger and my pinky finger. And since the accident, I could not lift them without them violently shaking. And I wanted to know, would I ever recover the full range of motion of my hand and what I could do to make this work? And as a medical professional, I expected him to immediately show me some physical therapy exercises or to prescribe some medication that might reduce the swelling and the shaking. But he did none of that. He put my hand in his, and he said that what I needed, what would restore my hand faster than any pill or any exercise, was rest. That when I went to sleep at night, there were naturally occurring repair cells that would begin to work on the severed skin and arteries in my hand deep beneath the surface. And that these cells were more plentiful and more powerful at restoring my body when I was at rest. And then he said, I don't just mean when you are sleeping, but when you have carved out intentional time for your own healing. And my brothers and my sisters, I believe that what is true for our bodies is what is true for our souls. That there are some broken hearts that God can only heal when we are at rest. That there are some broken relationships that God can only heal when we are at rest. That there are some broken dreams that God can only restore when we are at rest. And that doesn't mean that we are sleeping. It means that we're not driving, pushing, running, and moving to the next thing. And that we stay still long enough for the Holy Spirit to work beneath the flesh and bone and deep within the broken parts of our souls. And so my prayer for you today, my prayer for all of us, is that as we continue on the road trip of life, every once in a while, we pull over and we rest. For we can't go the distance of our destination without it. For the work of God is not dependent on us. And most importantly, because there are some things that God can only do when we are at rest. So don't miss your next rest stop. Won't you pray with me? Holy and awesome God, we are grateful that you are a dynamic God. You are always moving and changing and transforming our lives, but that is not all of who you are. You are also the God that commands us to be still. You are also the God that is at work beneath the flesh and bone, beneath the surface, restoring and repairing our souls when we rest in you. And so it is our prayer today that we would place you at the center of our lives, that we would be refueled by the presence of your Holy Spirit, for we cannot go the distance without you, O God. We cannot do all of the work by ourselves, and we cannot refuel our souls without the source of life itself. So help us to rest, O God. Help us to rest in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.